You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. This is a reading of a collection of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Esoteric Christianity and the Mission of Christian Rosenkreuz, translated by Matthew Barton. This is the beginning of the appendix, which is composed of three lectures, which are really written out of lecture notes and not stenographic reports. Lecture 21. Entitled The Significance of the Year 1250. Lecture Notes, Cologne, 29th of January, 1911. Why do we need a science of the spirit? As living beings on the physical plane, we are on a path of descent. Our body is not the same as in ancient times. Our bodies are less ensouled, less sustained by spirit. In ancient times, the etheric body was active within us in the same way that the plant is permeated with water. Its nurturing forces imbued the physical body. Nowadays, it has lost its power over the body, and we can only be saved by strengthening the spirit within us. When the astral body is permeated by spirit, then the human race will become healthier. It is destiny that the human physical body is in gradual decline. But the etheric body can become stronger and work upon it. But at the moment, people are steering straight for decadence. The science of the spirit works to renew body and soul and make them healthier. An especially health-giving effect is exerted by what cannot be perceived by the senses or the brain alone. The world regards it as nonsense when we say that we should direct our thoughts to things that cannot be outwardly proven. But it is childish to want to subject the science of the spirit to present scientific methods of proof. Our thinking about the outer world necessarily contains a destructive, reductive element that works back harmfully on the physical body. Sleep heals this harm. Many phenomena of the cultural life of today have a destructive effect, especially screen images, which definitely harm the etheric body. Such images also arouse sensuality. True art can bring down into the sense world what comes from higher worlds. In the science of the spirit, we work together with supersensible powers. Spirit knowledge is the only thing that gives us inner certainty. Any slave with inner spiritual certainty in the time of the pharaohs and Egyptian priest kings had more certainty about life than many in our present age. Nowadays, people strive for fixed stereotypes, for authority. But only one's own inner wakeful activity can give the soul certainty. A spiritual scientific attitude sustains people and makes them happy. For what the science of the spirit gives offers them a solid point of reference in their inner lives, as necessary to the soul as daily bread to the body. We stand on an earth that progresses toward dissolution. Gradually lakes and rivers will dry up. The face of the earth changes through such transformations. Geology alone tells us that we have already reached an epoch of disintegration. The well-known geologist Seuss confirms that processes of decomposition are now taking effect in the earth rather than ones of renewal and growth. That has already been occurring throughout the last great evolutionary epoch of the earth, and especially intensely since the year 1250. Some researchers and people of genius in their own fields show the odd spark of insight. Burdach, for instance. He has noticed a radical change since the Renaissance, but knows nothing about the change of direction of the Earth's axis at the time the spirits of personality withdrew. Various spiritual beings intervene in different ways at different times. This gives each epoch its own character, just as every stage of life has its own special task. It would have a destructive, undermining effect if one tried to introduce things that are not appropriate to our time, For instance, ancient Egyptian teachings rooted in the atavistic clairvoyance of a people that have survived in altered form as belief in a supersensible world. It is not what reason sees, not the outer things of the world, that are the objects of belief. Belief is strongly rooted in former experiences of the soul. The spirits of personality, the archai, are invisible, and yet they are there, and take a hand in things. The archai intervened in a particularly strong way in the Egyptian-Babylonian period. The spirits of personality were, at the time, especially attracted to the earth sphere. Now things are different. Now they are not in the least attracted or sympathetic to what is happening on earth. They no longer intervene, not even in people's disposition of character. Since the year 1250, things have become different. In the 13th century, a significant, important transformation of earthly conditions occurred. And, from then on, the archai ceased playing such a strong part in things. They withdrew to undertake deeds in the higher worlds. Previously, their influence and activity was more directed to the earth itself. Such events must be properly understood, for since then, other laws have held sway. Adversaries, in this case retrograde spirits of personality, counter all progressive spirits in the cosmos. These adversaries, the bad spirits of personality, are now winning ground. This is connected with the change to the position of the Earth's axis that occurred around 1250. Over the course of millennia, the Earth describes a cone-type movement, a dancing movement. Since the 5th, 6th centuries before Christ, the Earth's axis has turned more and more. In scientific terms, this is called the precession of the equinoxes, of the vernal point. Divisions between spring, summer, autumn, and winter were different in the past, as well more regular. Love of personality, and all that is connected with it, has both good and bad aspects. The Renaissance also brought this in its train, producing people who lived wholly in the realm of personality. All this was fairly extreme toward the 13th century, and long after, right up to the time of the Renaissance, both in those of artistic nature and people such as Cesare Borgia and Pope Alexander VI. It was the same with the leaders of the Crusades. In those days everything showed traits of the spirits of personality. The whole history of that time was imbued with the bad spirits of personality. People were as though possessed by these spirits of personality. Souls incarnated in the 13th century knew that people could not get away from their personality, and the adversarial powers gradually rendered people as materialistic as possible. Those who were imbued with the bad spirits of personality could no longer look upward to worlds of spirit. In those days, connection with the spiritual world was created through faith and belief, and great importance was placed on this by church scholastics. Belief and knowledge were strictly separated from one another. The effect of this continued through the centuries. Kant was a last straggler from this time, and his adherents parroted what he said. But Luther still had a dim sense of the effect of the bad spirits of personality. He hurled his inkpot at the materialistic spirit of the times. This epoch is now past. We live in a time of the archangels, with thoughts that can reach upward into the region where the archangels and their adversaries dwell. The adversaries of the archangels no longer imbue great personalities, as the archai did formerly. There are no longer great individuals who, like Leonardo da Vinci, are connected with the good spirits of personality, or who, like Pope Alexander VI, are connected with the bad. Nowadays, people are more schematic in their minds and chase after abstract ideals. The influence of the archangels' adversaries leads to people being more and more possessed by ideas, opinions, feelings. This makes people into fantasists who are gripped by abstract ideals. They no longer love their own eternal ego, but are driven by all kinds of lusts and passions. They are rooted merely in their earthly personality and go into raptures about any old unreal fantasy. Yet it is only striving for the world of spirit that can endow the soul with real substance and content. A secondary effect of the bad spirits of personality arises through wine. Wine becomes an adversary within one's own body. Anyone who wishes to push forward into the world of spirit must consequently refrain from wine. But passionate anti-alcoholism and vegetarianism belong to partisan, partial ideals. The same is true of people's raptures about Greek physical education, Olympic games, and so forth. Today's fad for cold showers belongs here too, and enthusiasm for what is only physically tangible, as well as for what is less physically tangible. This extends from the dreams of drunken people right through to the mad urge to commit crimes, for the adversaries of the Archai work in this way in the sense world. Each person must try to sense his place in the world, must experience something of what is storming into humanity in the way that has been described. Weakness, uncertainty, loss of equilibrium will otherwise become the rule. People who swing between fantasy and materialism will never find their way. For instance, there was a Wagner enthusiast. It is possible to be rapturous about Wagner and understand nothing of him, who went barefoot all the way to Bayreuth. Then he became an ascetic, sleeping on a wooden board covered in gravel. Finally, he joined the Nietzsche camp as a Wagner opponent. Weakness of soul is expressed in neurasthenia, to counter which an inner certainty is needed. But we need something different from the people of the Middle Ages, for whom faith was sufficient. A child of seven needs something different from someone who is 7 times 7. The science of the spirit can tear us away from the schema that passively does our work for us, without us becoming weak and rootless. The outer glory and edifice of our civilization will collapse all of a sudden. Present forms cannot remain. They will vanish without trace. Time and spirit are stronger than man with his wishes and passions. The science of the spirit is a necessity, and those who pursue it should be aware of its necessity. The end of Lecture 21.